now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
All right, Johnny Donovan right there with the intro again here on a Friday edition of the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and I can officially say that spring is here.
Spring is here. Looks like a great weekend. And I have to tell everybody, the mayor, you know, he's a romantic at heart. You actually brought daffodils to Flipper today, to Jill.
I did bring them to Jill, and you want to know why? Because the daffodil has been named the official flower of New York City.
You know what? What a way to start a weekend.
You know, I don't know who spends their time doing this kind of stuff, but
well,
we must
have had a blue ribbon commission.
Probably do. You know, as you know, each spring New Yorkers can see daffodils in our parks, playgrounds, and green streets. And after 9/11, the city launched the Daffodil Project, which is a citywide effort to create a living memorial of hope after the tragedy. Nice thing to do. Volunteers planted more than 120,000 bulbs.
Awesome.
I didn't count them all myself, and I'm told that. And every year since 2002, you see lots of daffodils coming out, and they bloom in each season since. So daffodils naturalize, meaning that once they're planted, they grow and they spread and they produce more flowers each year. So since the 2001 planting, the volunteers and Parks Department staff have planted over 3 million bulbs throughout the
city. 3 million bulbs.
And, you know, this keep growing and growing and growing. And you're going to ask me, how did found out about the daffodil?
I wasn't going to ask you that.
Carolus Clausius. You know who he was. He was a botanist. In 1570, he founded the Dutch bulb industry, which led to the hybridization of daffodils in thousands of colors.
Well, how about him? A memorial, probably, for him. You could lead the charge to raise the money.
I could lead the charge to raise the money. That's exactly a good idea.
Well, that's nice. I mean, there's nothing better than a nice daffodil.
All kidding aside, one of the things that's different in the city is, you know, these little islands in the middle with a road split, and it's like, this city has really become green and beautiful in the last, 5-10 years. They've made enormous, particularly the last 5 years, made enormous progress. The city, and people that come from out of town just marvel at how clean the streets are and how green everything is.
Yep. No, there's no question about it. It is a great place, and now that we have three million bulbs, that's really something else. Speaking of the environment, on Sunday you have a major announcement about the future of New York. That a core of this is environmental.
I'm going to talk at the Museum of Natural History, which is in itself a great institution, but they've also focused on trying to make the world better environmentally. This is what we promised about 3 or 4 months ago when we announced Plan YC, which was, what do we got to do to be ready for 25 years down the road? We picked the year 2030, and, we're going to have 1 million more people. So we have to worry about how they're going to get to work and how they're going to get enough electricity and water and sewage and what kind of air they're going to breathe. Sadly, in this city, while we are very efficient per capita, we still spill an enormous amount of junk into the air, and asthma is one of the very big problems in this city. So it is, I've always believed you don't just have the press avail, you actually lay out a plan. There's a book this thick that lays out 127 different things that we think we should do. And the cost of every one of them and the benefit. You make an investment, you should get an investment back. Handful will be very uncontroversial. Handful will be very controversial. Most will be sort of in the middle. I think people will be pleased. But, you know, everybody's against, well, there's two groups of people. There's some that are against everything. I don't know that dirty air kills you, therefore let's not worry about it. Well, that's not very rational. There's a group that says, I know dirty air kills you and we should study it. Well, in the meantime, people are dying.
That's the political way of going.
Right. And then, that's even, I guess, a third group. I know it, but I'm going to have a photo op, but the next guy is going to have to pay for it. And I don't like that. I've never believed we should have somebody once defined a kids' party as the kids get the benefits and the adults pay for it. Well, an adult party is the adults get the benefits and our kids pay for it. And I've always, as you know, been opposed to that. So these are concrete things. They have to do with energy. They have to do with the air. They have to do with water. They have to do with housing. They have to do with transportation, mass transit and on the streets. But, you know, we have problems right now. And people that say, oh, well, let's keep studying. We should, some of these things would help us today. Asthma, for example, congestion cost everybody a fortune because the traffic is so bad. And you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. You can't get where you're going. The deliveries can't get there. It doesn't help businesses. Businesses that say, oh, well, I'm afraid to make it more difficult for people to get to my store. They're right, and we should make it easier for people to get to this store. As you know, I've always believed in mass transit. It's the only ways we're ever going to get any place. And we've actually looked at every single community board throughout the city and determined how people get to work and what facilities they need and have plans how to get them more mass transit and how to get them more parking if that's the case or whatever we have to do.
I see that the city has re-energized a rail line out in Staten Island.
That's part of it, too. There's a rail line that goes out across what's the longest bridge of its kind in the world. This bridge over the river from New Jersey over to it's from Staten Island over to New Jersey and back. And now what will happen is all of the garbage on Staten Island will go to this one place, be containerized, put on trains, and the trains take it down to Pennsylvania or to a – some goes to an incinerator in New Jersey. Some goes to some other states that are willing to take the garbage. But once you get on a train, it's much more energy efficient and a lot less polluting. And this cuts, you know, 100,000 trucks a day, week, month, second, whatever it is, off the road. So every one of these things help, and it reduces the pollution and reduces the traffic. The problem is doing it every place else, and it's harder in some of the other boroughs. But at least this is the first one done working, and I signaled with my flashing lamp, and the train started coming right towards us. It was amazing.
And you got power.
Absolutely.
You've got power. I want to speak about power when we come back. Let me take my break right here. And when we come back, there's more with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC.
77 WABC.
John Gambling here along with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and you at 77 WABC talking a little bit more about the environment. Toronto announced yesterday that they're going to ban the incandescent light bulb and have everything switched over by 2012. Are you willing to take a step like that?
The new light bulbs, you pay a little more, they last a lot longer and use a lot less energy. I'll give you the only honest answer.
Trans fat, smoking,
honest
and
answer
others.
Is I have tried in the process of changing some of the light bulbs, not all of them, but most in my house, and I'll let you know how it works. But I thought before I ask anybody else to do something.
How many people does it take to change a light bulb in the mayor's house? We want to know.
Just
America
me.
Wants to know.
Just me. But I'd have to have a few minutes to do it. I want to take a look at it and see. Let me tell you this. For you and your house, this is a good investment.
You make the money back right away.
So, you know, it's good for society, but is it good for John Gambling? Yeah, and people are going to say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, fine, waste your money. I mean, you know, you spend $1 more.
But you don't think it's appropriate to legislate that?
No, I don't know. I'd have to think long and hard about it. I don't think so. You know, if we don't have enough energy down the road, you're going to have to make some decisions as to what you want to do. Yeah, maybe that scenario, okay. But I don't think you get to that.
Let me ask you about this because this is what you're going to be talking about on Sunday. Not only the light bulbs in Toronto, but Con Ed has available, I think for $25 or something like that, a gizmo that you can put on your thermostat that they can program and you can program from a remote location to reduce your energy bills, especially air conditioning. Now, we could also—
I think down the road, all of those things are built in. You know, you have – when you buy an appliance today, it has built in a lot of security, a lot of software that uses less energy. They're building
again,
them regardless.
If environment is so important, and I think we all agree that it is, why isn't there more forming up by government to things that make so much sense?
You got to build consensus. People only – look, I'll give you a good example. You've got a television going on right behind us here. It is Virginia Tech wall-to-wall. That's what the papers have been focusing on, everything else. A terrible tragedy took place last Monday, I think.
It was Monday.
5 days ago.
Right.
32 people killed, and then the guy killed himself. There are 30 people murdered in America every single day. Now, why can we mobilize for Virginia Tech and not mobilize for the 30? You got the President of the United States goes, and I think appropriately, to express the country's remorse and help the healing, and that's fine. That's his job. He should do it, and he's doing it fine. And it is something that the press should cover. But the other story is 365 times 30 as opposed to just 32, and nobody seems to care. So, you know, government has to be mobilized. You have to have something that catches the public's imagination. And what I'm trying to do on Sunday is to say, at least for New York, and I'm not preaching for anybody else, not for the state, not for other states, not for the country, these are things New York City should pull together and do. And I give some examples of, if you go back in time, things that the city did pull together and do, which today you'd say, if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have the city. For example, building Central Park. Controversial, enormous. People wanted to cut it back, waste of money. Nobody's ever going to – can you imagine Manhattan without Central Park? Or, you know, building some of the big buildings, or building the subways. You know, they built subways into places where people didn't live. And I said, nobody's going to live north of, you know, 86th Street. Impossible. And you've got to – what we need are people to get ahead of the curve. I would describe it as leading from the front. But that doesn't have to be just elected officials. It's the public, too. We've got to say, look, these are the things in our interest down the road, and we're going to have to pay for them now, and the benefits are going to come later. And that's one of the problems with democracy, which, don't get me wrong, I'm in favor of democracy 100%, and better than anything else.
I was going to say the alternatives are not good.
Alternatives are not good. But having said that, one of the problems is that most elected officials, not all, but most, are unwilling to champion unpopular causes that if they explain to the public, the public might understand, or if it tried, they might work. Smoking ban's a good example. I can't find anybody that wasn't in favor of the smoking ban. 100% of the people I meet were in favor of the smoking ban. I don't remember it that way when my ratings were down 25%, but that's okay. But the elected officials aren't willing to do something where they have to fight the battles and invest the money today, but the payoff is down the road when they're not going to be in office.
Some are going to probably criticize you on Monday.
I'd be shocked if they do.
With whatever you have to say, that it's all down the road. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to implement it. Devil's advocate.
If one of our water tunnels were to collapse, you would close down. I don't know how the city would survive. There's no ways you could – a billion gallons, you couldn't truck it in. There's just no – you'd literally – people couldn't survive, couldn't stay in the city, in big parts of the city. Fortunately – 50 years ago, somebody, or I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, somebody had the foresight to say, let's build a third water tunnel, which will give us some backup, and then we can repair. We haven't looked inside the two main ones in
years.
50 years since last time, I think, okay. So something like that. And then over the last two or three decades, there have been times when the city's gotten in trouble financially, and they cut back on the digging. You ask the Sandhogs. You can look at a Sandhogs W-2s, and you can track how much when the city cut back. When I came in office, I said, look, you just can't run this risk. It's just not rational. And so we've put in more than the last five mayors doubled, I think somebody said. But the tunnel's almost done. The digging, I think, is done. They're now lining it with cement. Pray nothing happens for another two or three years, but two or three years from now, we will have made the investment in the past, and I won't even be around for the ribbon cutting. I'm sure it'll come after the end of my term, and whoever succeeds me, I hope they have a very big event, cut ribbons, take all the credit, lots of pictures, God bless them. But everybody, the taxpayers of the past and the elected officials of the past, will know that they contributed something, and we've got to do exactly that. You know, people argue about global warming. I can't tell you how fast the oceans will rise, whether they'll rise. I can just tell you a handful of things. Dirty air isn't good for you to breathe. And we aren't doing our environment any good by dumping all this crap in the air. How bad and over what period? Nobody really knows. But to sit here and say, well, since I don't know whether or not the world really will turn into a barren desert, let's not worry about polluting. The hell with it. Let's keep belching stuff in. Or the argument I like, well, the other guys are polluting, so we might as well keep polluting. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I was going to ask you about the regionality of this
well,
issue.
Look, High asthma rates in lots of parts of our city are because the trucks on the streets of our city are belching stuff into the air, okay? It may be true that to the west of us, because the winds come from the west, whether it's as far away as China or the West Coast or Mid-America, whatever they do, some of that stuff does get to us. But the real problem that we have is local. And shame, I mean, it's not our job here to worry about, maybe we should speak out and a lot of other things for the rest of the world, but let's try to at least take care of ourselves and do what we think is right. And as you saw with the smoking ban, if New York does it, it has a very big impact on the world. People follow what New York does. They say, well, hey, if they want to live well, maybe we should. If they want to live long, maybe we should. And life expectancy in New York City is now longer than in the country as a whole. It's the first time since before World War II. So it can make a difference.
No, it absolutely can make a difference. But as you say, what will the next person, and of course no one
I
has
the
answer here, but
it's the same thing with the schools. You know, we can't fix everything overnight. And those people would say, well, let's study rather than fix. Study, you're going to have a couple, and every year, thousands of kids don't get an education, never come back into the system. What do you mean study? Pick something and go with it. And, you know, I love these people that they always want change, but never that change. There's always a reason why not. It doesn't help 100% of the people. It only helps 99.9% of the people. Therefore, don't do it. You can't have something that helps everybody. You can't have something that's cost-free. You can't know in advance whether these things work. And you know, if you want to know why some companies are successful, it is the companies that say, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know whether anybody's going to buy it. I don't know how to manufacture it. I don't know what it costs. But it's one of those things that we should try. And they go ahead and they make the investment. And they try. Those are the companies that do well. Those are the cities that do well. Those are the countries that do well. And we are unwilling in this country to face our energy independence. I don't know what we're waiting for. You wait for the Middle East to blow up. You know, you got $100 oil overnight, and we're going to gnash our teeth. Corn, it's very nice, but it's not going to solve the problem.
It's not going to do it. You're
right. You want to solve the energy problem in this country, you've got to either through raising gasoline taxes or forcing manufacturers to make more fuel-efficient cars. That's the biggest thing you could do. You should, in this country, we've got to, and I think a lot more environmentalists are starting to agree, nuclear power is probably the only rational answer for electricity generation in this country.
Your words come back to my question, though, about legislating light bulbs.
You know, you can make the case. I think that in the case of light bulbs, the payoff is so big that you're going to see the marketplace will do it. And as more people use the energy efficient light bulbs, the manufacturers will sort of walk away from the old ones. You're not going to have any choice.
Well, exactly.
So if you want to go and buy a non-energy efficient dishwasher, for all I know, they don't even make them anymore. You know, we're going in that direction.
All right, lots more questions, including yours, before we finish up this hour. 1-800-848-WABC. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, jump on the queue. We'll get back to the mayor in just a moment. But right here. WABC. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, John Gambling, right here at 77 WABC on a Friday.
Nice Friday with
beautiful
great weather
Friday.
And great weather. And you're going to join me, I'm sure, for the Greek Independence Day Parade on Fifth Avenue.
When's this Sunday?
Sunday at 2 o'clock. It was supposed to be last week. You're playing golf, and I'm going to be marching.
Hey, well, good for you. And
you're not going to come to hear my speech either, is that right?
That is right. What time is the speech at the museum?
12:30 and...
Tea time's 11.
We could have it piped in to you.
Right. I got on my iPod, right?
Absolutely.
A podcast. Congestion pricing. We've talked about it. It's rumored that this is part of your...
I heard that rumor.
Yeah, it's rumored that this is part of your act on Sunday. And I know in our conversations, you looked at it. You were against it. Have you changed your mind?
I wasn't against it. I've always thought that it is a difficult thing to explain and a difficult political lift, and we'll see on Sunday.
This was supposedly happens. $8 if you're coming into town south of 6th Street.
Look, it is... been very effective in London. It's been very effective in Singapore. That doesn't mean it would work here, but it's something I've always said we should think about all of these things. And the politics of it are difficult because we have to depend on Albany. And Albany sometimes votes things because of considerations upstate that have nothing to do with us. But, for example, red light cameras. Red light cameras would save lives, bring in some revenue, stop people from running red lights. There's no question they work. We are allowed by state law to only have, let's say, 100, maybe it's 150, but something like that. We have thousands and thousands of intersections. Elderly people get killed all the time. Albany won't let us do it. Why? Supposedly, there's one assembly person who's the head of the right committee who upstate thinks if New York City does it, they'll do it in his district, and he doesn't like it. And so it is idiotic, but that's the real world. And, you know, you sit there and you talk about the merits of is it good or bad in New York City, and the vote has nothing to do with that. Now, maybe the Speaker of the Assembly should force it. No, you can talk to Shelley. I think he should, as a matter of fact. I've tried to make that case to him. But because they really do control, the Speaker controls the majority leader on the other side. All Democratic legislatures are fundamentally run, controlled what gets voted on and how the votes come out by the leadership. But we know a couple things. Traffic is worse, costs a lot of money, pollutes, makes it much more difficult to get to stores, makes it much more difficult to get deliveries. And in Manhattan, only about 5% of the people who come here by car. Most 95% come by mass transit. Now, you have to think about you would if you did something like congestion pricing, you would want to do it, number one, at times when it's needed and not when times it's not. So, you know, from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., we don't need congestion pricing for sure because the traffic isn't that bad. You get tied up on a road because they're doing construction. That has nothing to do with extra traffic. You'd have to have some ways for people to get around. They come through a tunnel and want to get uptown without going into the midtown. So the East River Drive and the West Side Highway, you might not want to include. If somebody has to just move their car across the street for alternate side of street parking, you don't want to charge them for that. Taxis, you wouldn't charge because you want – that's another form of quasi-mass transit. It's better than everybody having their own car. It's not quite mass transit, but it's a useful way. So you would want to do that. And then you have to think about what's the real economic cost. Now, what happens today is that some people pay tolls and come in, and if they had to pay tolls and a charge in the city, it really would start to get to be onerous. So you might want to offset one with the other. And a lot of everybody coming from New Jersey, everybody that drives from Staten Island comes and pays tolls. Some people on the East River bridges, there's the tunnel and the Triborough, those are charged. And the Midtown Tunnel is two tunnels and the Triborough. But the other bridges, people drive around over in Queens and in Brooklyn trying to get to the free bridges. So the impact on Brooklyn and on Queens would be a great improvement if you could say to people, it won't make any difference which tunnel. If you had you charge in the city and offset it with the tolls, people would then say, what's the difference? I might as well pay the toll because I'm going to get an offset. It's not going to cost me anything. That would help it. So all these things are tied together. And it's, you know, I've always thought it's a difficult political lift, but it's getting to the point where, what do you want? You know, you can't have it both ways.
What about those that say those that can afford the $8 a day are going to come in no matter what? You can make it $20 a day and they wouldn't care. And those that obviously have the lower income.
Some people are influenced by the cost. You'll always find somebody. Look, I take mass transit, not because it's cheaper. It's because it's the fastest ways to get to work. Somebody said to me, do you like the subway? It's not offensive, but like is not quite the right word. I just want to get my commute over with. And now that I'm a senior, it's a dollar. I get a good...
Wait a minute. You only pay a buck?
Because I have my senior Metro card. John, someday if you get to be 65, you can get one too.
If. Big question. Yes,
yeah, okay. Right. Well, you know, if you agree with the mayor, you'll get there.
You play from the whites too?
I mean, I play from the whites as well. But all kidding aside, you're not going to stop all traffic. Using economics to influence public behavior is something this country is built on. It's called capitalism. Tax policy influences you to drill here and mine there and grow this and live here and do that. And, you know, we that's common. We have tried to make it more egalitarian by subsidies to people. We have programs for people that aren't as lucky as you and I to help them afford to be able to buy food and clothing. And in this day and age, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but you go to a movies, it's $12.
Yeah.
So let's, put some of the stuff in perspective here. And the cost of parking in New York City, the people
has to be the highest in the world.
John, people that drive into the city generally, you got to be careful here and not say everybody, but if you look at the statistics, tends to be people that can afford it because otherwise they'll take mass transit. And we have to do a much better job of providing mass transit in parts of the city where the city never invested in the past, and now we're paying for that. So there are places way out in Queens, places on Staten Island, right in Brooklyn. There are lots of parts of the city that aren't served by subways. The city lost the courage to keep investing in subways back at World War II. Now, with the state's finally working on the Second Avenue subway again, the city has put up the money. We're building the West Side extension of the number 7 line, which will pay back in one of the best investments the city could possibly make. But, you have to take the money. And if you were to charge, and I'll let you know on Sunday at 12:30, but if you were to charge, you'd take the money and invest it in mass transit.
All right. So is that considered another tax? Can you call it anything you want?
Can call it anything you want, I suppose. Is it a tax? Well, the guy that's collecting the $12 when you go to a movie, that's a tax.
Well, it's a business.
This is a business run by the city. You want to push people on. If you were designing the ultimate system, you would have mass transit be free and charge an enormous amount for cars. Because the roads cost you a fortune to maintain and mass transit's so much more efficient. Now, we don't do that, but that would be, if you started from scratch, it would be one of the rational ways to build a system.
If you thought that this was a good idea to institute, would it be within your term?
It's up to the legislature, but I'd fight like heck to make it. And I think there'll be a lot of things we've got to address. We don't have enough electricity. What are we going to do about it? That's the supply.
I've been maintaining that for years.
There's a supply side, and there's a demand side to that. We dump sewage into the water, into the rivers when it rains.
Awful situation.
We've done a very big percentage of it. We've fixed it, but there's still a ways to go.
Huge way to go on that. Let's take a break right here, and then we've got a list of folks that have some questions. We will get to you, and that will be next at 77 WABC. WABC. We continue a couple more minutes with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and this is your time, 1-800-848-WABC. Mr. Mayor, how about we start with Frank up in Westchester. Frank, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Bloomberg.
Good morning.
I've been a fan of yours since long before you were mayor of New York City.
A very smart guy.
Yes, exactly. I've read the magazines, websites, you name it. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is it's about the LED light bulbs. I don't believe that legislation should be passed to ban incandescent or fluorescent bulbs just because they eat a lot of energy. But I have to tell you, I have a friend who bought a house way down south, and he changed every one of his bulbs from incandescent and fluorescent to the LED bulbs. He has a 2,000-square-foot house, and he saved over $700 in 1 year in his electric bill, which convinced me. Hello?
Frank, yeah, I can hear you. I'll tell you something. If you take a look across the street in New York City, we have a traffic light. And look at the traffic lights. They're all now little LED bulbs. They save a fortune for the city.
My engineering son says, Dad, you got to go LED.
The maintenance is a lot less because they last a lot longer. Automobiles, you look at the back of a car with
taillights.
Mm-hmm. Sure, they're all – that's the wave of the future. And it's one of these things where – it costs a little more, but the payback is very quick.
And once they ramp up for volume, the price
yeah, I don't know that down. You even if you believe that the government should get involved in banning incandescent bulbs, I don't think you have to worry about it. It's the it's like vacuum tubes in radios. I'm sorry, you have
disappear.
A tough time. Right, they disappear.
All
fundamentally.
Right, Fred up in Armand. Good morning, Fred. You got the mayor. Go.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
A statement of encouragement for you. I would like you to run for third party presidential office, because I admire people like yourself who are well off. They cannot be influenced or bribed, and you have accomplished so many things.
Well, Fred, you're very kind to say so. I'm not so sure the world needs more than two mayoral candidates from New York. We have our junior senator is supposedly running, and my predecessor is supposedly running.
I talked to a former mayor who says he thinks Ed Koch yesterday. He thinks that not only might you would win.
Well, it's very flattering. I always joke my mother likes it. I'm not even clear that she does that. Look, I've got what I think is the greatest job in the world. The nice thing about the mayor's job is that you have to take a clear position. You can't be partially in favor, or you can't have both sides, and you really can make a difference. I'd love to make sure that we get things done in this city. I'd like to tackle the problems that I think are the problems, at least at the city level, that are politically difficult and that require long-term investments. I've said publicly, I think that it's a disgrace that at the federal level, we're not tackling energy independence. We're going to wait for a disaster and then say, oops, we're not tackling who's going to pay for your Social Security. Bottom line is the numbers are very clear.
Going out of business.
It's unless we do something about it, and nobody's willing to stand up and say that. In the city, we have a $50 billion liability for health and for medical benefits for our employees. I've put trying to put another $500 million towards it, but the city has a long ways to go. It should fund that. The same thing is true with Social Security. We're just paying as we go, and if the number of people paying in declines and the number of people receiving goes up, you're going to be in big trouble. Healthcare, we spend $2,000 or $3,000 more per capita than Europe does on healthcare, and people in Europe live 4 years on average longer, some numbers like that. You know, it's easy to talk about all this stuff, but somebody's got to do something about it.
Comes back to leadership, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, but you don't have to have an independent candidate. I think in the end, it's your fault and my fault. We aren't insisting that our legislators and presidents are doing what should be done. We have people running all the time for an office, and I'm going to fix it. I have a secret plan to end the war. I know how to fix health care. I mean, show us, what are you going to do? And then afterwards, nobody, once they get elected, goes back and says, you promised to do this. Where is it? And then we've tried to do it. It's very frustrating. We have the scorecard, and nobody pays attention to it.
Joe Bruno this week coming out for term limits. Are you a term? I've changed my position. I was against term limits.
And now you agree with the mayor. Way to go. I've always believed in term limits. The argument that you lose experience. I've never heard anybody running for office say, I'm not going to be effective for the first 4, 8, 10 years, but, you know, if you ride with me, eventually I'll be useful. No, they all say, you elect me and I'll change things right away. I'll put a chicken in every pot and it won't cost you anything. You can't have it both ways. And I think Joe Bruno happens to be right. We have term limits in this city for city council and for the citywide offices.
For the mayor?
Mayor and controller and public advocate.
President of the United States, we have term limits.
But the trouble is the legislators are the ones that have to vote term limits
in,
and they're not going to do it for themselves.
Right. Nobody's
the only ways it happened to get in New York City was somebody wasn't looking and something got on the ballot and Ron Lauder paid the money and it got done.
All right, Mr. Mayor, the clock has done us in once again. Enjoy your nice weekend.
And I will be parading while you're playing golf. Hit them straight.
Right. Go pick a few more daffodils.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Chris Wallace coming up next. Hope you're going to stay where you are at 77 WABC.